WTK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas Democrats have left the state capitol and dozens have fled the state, protesting Republican plans to redraw congressional maps to give the GOP five more House seats before midterms. Democrats call those carved-out maps gerrymandering. ABC's Maria Villarreal is outside the capitol in Austin, where the governor has ordered state Democrats back next hour or to face fines.
Just like most government buildings around the country, this one is actually open for visitors, and it really is the last week or two before school starts. So we are seeing a lot of people come in and just check things out. They know the drama that is going to possibly ensue here in just a few hours. And that's when we're expecting them to gavel in.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu now says he plans to convene his cabinet this week to outline a military solution on how to defeat Hamas and free the remaining Hamas-held hostages in Gaza. Investors on a buying spree for stocks today before U.S. tariffs on foreign goods kick in this week. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says it deactivated nearly 200,000 voter registrations last week. According to a press release, over 192,000 individuals had their voter registration deactivated after not voting in the past 4 years and not responding to a mailing from the agency regarding their registration status. Less than 10,000 of the voters who received the mailer responded to remain registered. The deactivation is part of a legally required maintenance process to ensure the integrity of the state's voter database. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to the annual Farm Technology Days event this week. The yearly event gives residents a chance to see some of the latest developments in the agricultural industry, including new technology and research. The DNR will also have their own tent, where officials will share information on conservation efforts, management practices, and offer free nitrate screenings for private well owners. This year's Farm Technology Days event will take place from Tuesday to Thursday in Waupaca County. A black bear that got its head stuck in a jar last week in Bayfield County has now been freed. According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the two-year-old bear was spotted near Crystal Lake on Sunday morning. U.S. Department of Agriculture wildlife staff quickly responded to the area, located the bear, and sedated it before cutting the jar off its head. Wildlife officials say the bear was relocated and released in an area with ample natural food and water sources. DNR officials credited area residents for their assistance in tracking the bear. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting area residents out for their annual Family Fun Day at the Brule State Fish Hatchery this week. According to a press release, the event will take place on Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. and features a variety of fun family activities like hatchery tours, demonstrations, youth archery lessons, and catch-and-release fishing. More information on the event is available on the Department of Natural Resources website, and anyone over the age of 16 who attends will need to bring a valid Wisconsin fishing license. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's been 60 years since the Milwaukee Braves played their final game at County Stadium and moved to Atlanta. 5 years later, the Seattle Pilots became the Milwaukee Brewers. Tonight, it's the Brewers and the Braves in Atlanta. The crew still with the best record in baseball after sweeping the Nationals over the weekend. They won again yesterday, 14-3. Manager Pat Murphy says it starts with a veteran like Christian Yelich leading the way.
It starts with Yelich when your top experienced offensive player is on base five times. That sets the tone for everyone else.
NFL, the Packers had some standout players on defense on family night, including big number 93 defensive lineman Nazir Stackhouse, who says he already knew about a half a dozen Packers players from his time in Georgia.
Just me knowing some of the guys on the team, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, John Fitzpatrick, Miko Harmon, Javon Buller. You know what I mean? Just me knowing those guys made me feel comfortable coming here.
That's Nazir Stackhouse with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A hazy sunshine today with wildfire smoke still stuck to the area. With clouds increasing, a chance of spotty sprinkles is possible. Winds are barely moving and today's highs will scrape the upper 70s. Tomorrow, the smoke should clear by the afternoon, giving way to more blue skies and highs hitting 80. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us after 9:30 to break down the news in Wisconsin. Terry Barr in hour number two for Audio Sorbet. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. Now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Monday, August 4th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to be along with you from the world headquarters in downtown Madison. I'm taking it that it's actually clear skies, Zommers, but it looks overcast because of the smoke. Somebody, here's what's happened, and I'm not sure there's a meteorological term for this or not. Somebody has smoked a large bowl in San Francisco, and the smoke has gone up into the air, and the entire country now is high. That's what's going on.
That explains a lot.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
Wouldn't that be something? No. Actually, there's, and here's the thing. You get some of these Republican yahoos, like Tom Tiffany up north here in Wisconsin. He's writing angry letters now. Now a couple of state senators or assembly people, they got nothing better else to do at their time. They think, well, we'll get into this too. We'll write nasty letters to Democrats too. And to Canada, of all people, they're picking on the Canadians. And they're saying this entire thing is caused by Canadian wildfires. And what they forget about is there's lots of wildfires in Utah and Arizona and the Grand Canyon and all this that are blazing as well. So it's not just a Canadian problem, as it turns out. But anyway, it's causing real problems. I'm not sure about you, but the some people are really struggling with this because of breathing or whatever. My breathing doesn't seem to be bothering me that much, but I have like a constant sore kind of throat a little bit.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of that too. Yeah. And on days when I've been outside more, a little bit of weird breathing stuff. Like it is unfortunate. Stay inside if you can, especially if you have asthma.
Yeah, absolutely. So stay, hang in there. It's supposed to eventually get better. We'll Scott Madison, listening on WMDX, says, I've smoked 3 packs of Canadian wildfires so far today.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Well done, Scott. Maybe we'll hire you as a writer. Anyway, it's supposed to clear off eventually at one point here this week. Well, but otherwise, other than the smoke, it's going to be a lovely week. Highs in like the 80s and sunny and not too humid. So it's the dog days of August, Zommers.
Yes. One thing I'm grateful to the smoke for is that it brings the temperature down a little bit by absorbing some heat.
Right. Scott, or rather, pardon me, Steve, listening in Beaver Dam on WMDX, says, you got it backwards, Todd. If someone smoked a huge bowl, things would be better. Well,
there's always that. Coming up a little bit later, the Brewers, Sobbers. Speaking of things that are hot, the Brewers, red hot. Mike Clemens, a great sports reporter, of course, following it for us. The Brewers are in Atlanta tonight to kick off a series with the Braves. Pre-game show around 5:45, first pitch at 6:15, local time in Wisconsin. The Brewers on a big win streak lead the Cubs, by two in the National League Central. Going to play a cut here in a bit from Logan Henderson. The Miz is out for a couple of days or more. He's on the 15-day IL list. And so they brought up Logan Henderson. And there's a great story about how he got to the game yesterday before he got the big win. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, Lonnie Anderson, which is a name that will mean next to nothing to you, Sommers.
But correct.
But for many of us, it was a big name in a lot of ways. Lonnie Anderson, dead over the weekend. The star of one of the greatest sitcoms on television, WKRP in Cincinnati, the girlfriend and former wife of the great late Burt Reynolds. So we'll talk about the life and times of Lonnie Anderson as well. What's worse coming up in terms of neighborhood covenants? Now, our operations director, Luke Mathers, says he had never, well, I shouldn't say never heard of it, but he was not familiar with the term covenants as homeowners association. So we'll discuss that as well. But first, I want to get to a couple of calls. Didn't have time to get to last hour. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, how's the smoke out there on the ferry, or are you in a different location today?
I'm a little different location today, right. But the smoke is 153 here. And that's not good.
No, not good at all. Well, take care of yourself, Jeff.
I love these guys that are criticizing the way the Canadians are handling, hundreds, if not thousands, of forest fires.
Right.
By saying, neighbor, your house is burning down. Stop sending the smoke to us.
Right.
I mean, let's at least try to do something that's helpful.
Right. Agreed.
Anyway, my comment from the segment with Senator Jelk that you had.
Yeah, we had former state. Let me just quick set it up, Jack. We had former state Senate Majority Leader Bob Jelk, Democrat of Poplar, on talking about this story out of Texas, redistricting stuff, or that's what they're calling it. Donald Trump telling Republican Governor Abbott in Texas, hey, redraw the maps to make it easier to win five more seats. It's like the thing you had in the election in Atlanta. I need so-and-so more votes. He tells Abbott, I need five more seats. They're trying to have a special session. Democrats in the legislature in Texas fleeing to Illinois to at least slow down that process. And Jalk was talking about the fact that Democrats did this in Wisconsin in 2011 to slow down the process when Scott Walker put Act 10 upon Wisconsin with little to no notice. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, in my opinion, Joe Biden made two very serious errors. These two things should have been top on his radar when he assumed office. And the first thing is not rebalancing the Supreme Court. We've seen the corruption and the other stuff that has happened with the Supreme Court, reversing precedents of years and decades.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, though, is that he should have pushed to get that John Lewis Voting Rights Act through. What we need
1964
is
Voting Rights Act. Yep.
Yep. The one from the 20th century. I'm talking about the recent one that I think it actually been passed the House.
Well, it's a re-upping. Go ahead.
Okay. In any case, what we need is a federal law that unequivocally states all citizens, all adult citizens, have the right to vote, and anything that interferes with that right is illegal. And will be prosecuted if it's individuals that are causing it. I mean, this kind of thing has got to stop. We've got to get rid of things like that egregious gerrymandering, things like what Wisconsin just did, which is 170,000 people purged from the voting rolls, and there's no proof that they are not legal voters. That's right. The thing. The onus of proof should be on people that are challenging those. And I realize that that's in Wisconsin law, I think, now, if I recall correctly. But the bottom line is, that's got to stop.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jack, but I got to go. But quickly, yes or no on this, or at least a couple of sentences here. I'm with Jalk on this. I mean, as someone who does not want deeply partisan gerrymandered maps, if Texas really does this, I don't know that Democratic-controlled states have a choice but to fight fire with fire and try to save democracy on this.
Well, and I'm with you on both counts. Gerrymandering is outrageous. We should always be choosing districts by nonpartisan commission. Mm-hmm. But at this point, we don't have much choice.
Yeah. You're thanks, right. Jack. Appreciate it. Have a great day, Jack in Merrimack. It is 15 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that,
this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved. It's your chance to have your voice heard across all 10 news talk sports stations in the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. No better place to advertise than the Civic Media Network. Give us a ring-a-ling. Dial us up on the interwebs at civicmedia.us. Would appreciate your sponsorship, partnership. Great place to get your word out. All right. Category today. We've alluded to this, and I think this will be an interesting discussion because I think Mathers and Zomers are on the side of covenants. We never really heard of the word or the term, well, maybe heard of it, all right, but not widely used. Homeowners Association is something you said you're more familiar with.
Yeah, commonly abbreviated as HOA.
HOA. Now, where I grew up in the southwest part of the state, it's a covenant. Does your neighborhood, does your community, are there covenants? I think, too bad Maggie Dawn isn't here today because we could ask her, but I believe, I'm no lawyer like Maggie, but I believe covenant is the legal word, maybe Jim Santel, we could dial Jim Santel. Covenant is the legal term that governs a homeowners association.
Probably.
So a homeowners association is made up of several covenants. In other words, if you live in a neighborhood, you say, okay, people on this street and this street in this mapped out area, there are a certain number of rules you have to operate under. For instance, you can only use natural materials on the street-facing side of your home. It has to be like wood or stone or brick. Can't be like vinyl siding.
Or certain paint colors.
Or
you can't park your car in the driveway.
Or you can't. Maybe not so much car, but maybe like you can't have a boat or RV vehicle parked in the driveway for more than a 24-hour or 36-hour straight time period. Those are the types of things that we're talking about. So the category today from the old writers, what's worse, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? Neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And you could also dial us up, hit us up on the Civic Media app. Text us. That's the word I was looking for. You can text us on the Civic Media app. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, covenants, a neighborhood with covenants or a homeowners association, or no restrictions? PJ, watching on YouTube, as you can as well, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. PJ says, I would never buy a home in an HOA neighborhood, Homeowners Association neighborhood. Really? Never, PJ says.
I would certainly prefer not to.
Really? This is fascinating. See, I think this is a fascinating discussion. What's worse, neighborhood covenants, i.e. homeowners associations, or no restrictions? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Now, I was on the city council, Richland Center, for a couple of terms, and this is a pet peeve of mine because I think you know, when you have people that are just junky and sloppy, it brings the entire neighborhood value down. We have to talk about this. Come on back. We'll talk about it with you. 855-752-4842. What's worse, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? More after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting nationalguard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tom O'Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 22 past the hour of 3 o'clock on Monday, August 4th. Your house, our house. It's the part of this perspective. Are you a homeowner or not? We're right in the middle of what's worse today. Controversial. What's worse? Neighborhood covenants, i.e. a homeowners association, or no restrictions? Neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app or chime in on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Our ongoing contributor, our friend Jeff Perry, Jerry Perry, saying, my HOA just sent a tersely worded letter to Canada complaining about the wildfire smoke. I expect this probably to be gone shortly. This problem to be gone shortly.
And see, Jeff's sarcastic comment here points out exactly why I loathe homeowners associations.
Really?
Because it's a bunch of people who want control over other people's lives but have not succeeded in gaining that professionally or personally. And so they take the time out of their boring lives to boss other people around and tell them what to do. And it often, you know, laundering money through HOAs. Like, I've just read so many horror stories.
But now you're talking about, like, Hollywood type of HOAs. There are a lot of covenant areas or HOAs in Wisconsin that are not in multimillion dollar home areas.
That's true. I feel like at that point then, I mean, there's also the middle ground. There are some, no house has no restrictions, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because there's still city rules.
What's worse, neighborhood covenants, HOAs, or no restrictions? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Ted, listen in good old Appleton, home of Harry Houdini. Ted, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? What's worse?
Well, let me put it to you this way. You don't need an HOA to have a covenant in a subdivision.
True.
The developer or owner can put a covenant and register it through the registered of deeds in the county. But you can also wipe your you-know-what with it, because unless the petitioner is still alive to enforce the rules, they're null and void.
Right. That's a great point, and I'm a little familiar with this, having been on the City Council of Richland Center a little bit, because you're right. It all comes down to the legal, like the attorneys, right, how it's written. But, yes, a developer can say, I would have developed this parcel of property, have 10 lots on it. And by law, I, as the developer, control the covenants until the majority of lots are sold. So until six lots are sold, at that time, those six homeowners or lot owners have the ability to create a homeowners association. And so you're right. Yep. The covenants can still happen without an HOA. And that's more common, I think, than people realize in the state of Wisconsin, Ted.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, half the rules are unenforceable. That's the thing a lot of people don't realize. You know,
it depends, again, to how much money one side has and how good of an attorney.
Exactly.
Thanks, and, Ted. Go ahead.
To your reference to your San Francisco smoking, not smoking. Hey, dude, you got any Cheetos?
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate you.
See ya.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Cam in Appleton as well. People are listening to Appleton. They're lighting it up. Cam, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? What's worse?
I would say neighborhood covenants by far and large are worse. You have the fact that they're legal is kind of crazy to me, because it almost seems like you can get bullied out of the money, right? But there's also what else is legal is that you can call each of the people that live at those places and tell them that you yourself are on the HOA board, and then tell them that you're distributing out to them their mandatory distributed bloodhound dog, and that each one of them are going to be expected to maintain and keep it up. And you can do this exactly once legally to each house in the area.
All right, that might be a long shot, but here's a slightly more serious question, Cam. People that move in there, I mean, if they're doing their due diligence, they know they're moving into an area that has covenants or HOA, so that's their choice, right, to move in there?
No, actually, because my parents moved in, and this is true. This is not a screw-around thing. My parents had moved into a place in Minnesota at one point in my life, and they were never presented with the paperwork for the HOA. They never signed any of that information. They were never shown it when they moved in or knew about it before going in. Then they built a fence and put foundation down to put like a hot tub hut thing into the area, and the HOA complained. But then when they went to court over it, the court was like, well, you guys didn't have them sign anything, so they're allowed to do this.
Wow. I would have thought that your parents would have had a case against the realtor, because the realtor should have disclosed that when they bought the property, that, hey, this property is in an HOA. I think that goes back to the realtor. But again, I'm not here to play attorney on the radio. But that's an interesting story, Cam. Appreciate it. Thanks for your listenership. Have a great day up there in beautiful Appleton. What's worse, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? 855-752-4842. Heather in beautiful Eau Claire, Wisconsin, listening on WCFW, The Tap, says, I know covenants can be nitpicky and annoying, but neighborhoods that have junk everywhere are way worse. No restrictions are worse. There you go.
I think this is a more complicated topic than it seems.
Do we have to? No, I don't want to stop this. I think we need to do farm news update with Pam Yonke and the great folks at Midwest Farm Report, and we're going to get to a lot of these texts and comments. We'll keep it going on the other side. What's worse, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? And WKRP is a little less noisy after the death of Lonnie Anderson over the weekend. We'll discuss that. And the Brewers, speaking of hot, are hot as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The MAHA Commission is expected to release its Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy on August 12th. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Monday. Brian Glenn is the Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says they submitted policy recommendations focused on improving the farmer's ability to meet the needs of a healthy America.
To keep affordable, nutritious food on Americans' tables, farmers need the tools to protect crops and promote sustainability. So our recommendations really focus on four big buckets, including advancing American innovation, smart regulatory reform measures to support farmers and ranchers, public investments in agricultural research, and support for access to effective pesticide tools.
He says America's farmers and the MAHA Commission share the same goal. They want a healthy America, and that's why farmers need to engage on the issue.
Farmers and ranchers rely on technology and innovative tools to provide a safe, abundant, and affordable food supply. It is important that the commission listen to farmers and ranchers to ensure the commission's recommendations and the strategies they come out with are grounded in science and informed by farmer and rancher experiences.
Brian Glenn is the Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation. We'll take a look at closing markets next.
Jan is a single mom with two growing kids. She's working two jobs to make ends meet and gets home just in time to tuck them in for bed.
Mommy, I'm hungry.
In every community, people are working, yet over 47 million people face hunger. You can help. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting invites you to help people facing hunger, including one out of every five children. Your donation stays in your community. Go to nafbhunger.com and help end hunger.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
On the close Monday from Chicago, grain markets are mixed, with cash corn down 2.5 cents at $3.87 a bushel. December new crop corn down 3.75 at $4.07 a bushel. Cash beans are up a nickel and three quarters, closing at $9.75 and a quarter. November new crop beans up a nickel and a quarter at $9.94 and a half. And cash and new crop wheat is sitting neutral at $5.16 and three quarters. Meanwhile, fluid milk contracts are seeing a rally. The September Class 3 milk contract is up 36 cents at $18.10 a hundredweight. The October contract up 27 cents at $18.40 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A hazy sunshine today with wildfire smoke still stuck to the area. Clouds increasing, a chance of spotty sprinkles is possible. Winds are barely moving, and today's highs will scrape the upper 70s. Tomorrow, the smoke should clear by the afternoon, giving way to more blue skies, and highs hitting 80. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner, Kaylin Bavink, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
One of the best sitcoms in television history from CBS.
Baby, if you ever wondered whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking. Town to town, up and down the dial. Once in a while.
The great theme song of WKRP in Cincinnati on CBS from 1978 to 1982. One of the great stars of that program, Lonnie Anderson, who played a struggling radio station's empowered receptionist on WKRP in Cincinnati, died yesterday, just before her 80th birthday, according to the Associated Press. Anderson died at Los Angeles's hospital after a prolonged illness, according to her longtime publicist. Her publicist said, quote, "We are heartbroken to announce the passing of our dear wife, mother, grandmother," Lonnie Anderson's family said in a statement. WKRP in Cincinnati ran 1978 to 82 on CBS, was set in a flagging Ohio radio station trying to reinvent itself with rock music. The cast included Gary Sandy, Tim Reed, Howard Hessman, Frank Bonner, and Jan Smithers, alongside Anderson as the sexy but smart Jennifer Marlowe. As the station's receptionist, the blonde and high-heeled Jennifer used her sex appeal to deflect unwanted business calls for her boss, Mr. Carlson. Her efficiency often kept the station running in the face of others' incompetence. That was the great part about this character. And Lonnie Anderson, who was very attractive, very well endowed, as you might say, blonde hair, blue-eyed. And the way the script apparently was originally wrote, it was kind of this blonde bimbo type of character. And Lonnie Anderson, to her credit, said, "I'm not playing that. If you want me, I want the character rewritten to be smart." And so they really did it well to play both sides, and where she used her kind of looks and finesse to outsmart people. And she was never really the butt of the joke. It was always the men of the show who were the butt of the joke and to seem to be incompetent. And it always came down to, well, you know, Jennifer was actually the person kind of running the place. Anderson starred on the big screen, of course, alongside Burt Reynolds, the 1983 comedy Stroker Ace, a film that could not be made today. And the two later married and became tabloid fixtures before divorcing in 1994. Reynolds died in 2018. Anderson wrote in a 1995 autobiography, My Life in Heels, which she said was about the growth of a woman who survives. It's about my childhood, the death of my parents, my career, my divorces, and my children. Then, of course, the trauma of my marriage to Bert. Lonnie Anderson of the great show WKRP in Cincinnati, dead at the age of 79. It's a great, if you've never seen the show, Zommers, you could probably still see it on like, I don't know, Nick at Night or something like that.
I've seen a little bit and it was very funny.
As he says with a completely straight face.
The what? I'm not watching it right now. Oh, okay. Just talking about okay. It.
For those of us who worked in radio back in a certain era, it is spot on. You've known it. I wish Jay Matinari was here because she could attest to this. Every station has a Herb Tarlick, the sales guy who dresses in plaid suits. Every station has a Dr. Johnny Fever, the overnight guy who, you know, is a little out
there. Couple screws loose, maybe.
Well, yeah. Every station has a Les Nessman, the news guy who's a little square and takes the news a little too seriously. And so for those of us who worked at radio at the time and continue to do so, it holds a special place in our heart. And Lonnie Anderson, every station had the receptionist who was a little smarter than the station manager, but didn't have the title or the pay. And so it's a great show. What I highly encourage you to pick up on streaming, or I think they still sell it on DVD, but Phil and Eni from Michelin Center have often said we could write a reboot of WKRP.
Might have to do it.
Withhold the names of the guilty.
Well, no, it's pure fiction, right?
Right. Lonnie Anderson, dead at the age of 79. All right, back to this. What's worse? What's worse?
God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
There you go. From the great Thanksgiving episode. I think we've discussed that on this show
before. Yes, we have.
Mr. Carlson, yeah. Chris, our own Casper, says, we're living the reboot. Well, yeah, a lot to be said for that. All right, back to the story. Did Mark want to weigh in on Lonnie Anderson, or is he weighing in on what's worse? Do we know? All right, well, 855-752-4842. What's worse? Neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? Let's go to the phone line. Mark in Pertisac. Mark, what's worse, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions?
Well, I'd probably say the neighborhood covenants, but I actually called in that WKRP actually did hit on some topical issues. I mean, it was actually a trans character that came in there that Herb Tarlick was trying to hit on this woman, and it turned out she told Herb that she used to be a man.
I forgot about that.
Mr. Carlson stood up for freedom of speech and for freedom of thought because his minister friend was all bent out of shape over the Beatles song Imagine, and Mr. Carlson gave him a lecture on that. It just says Imagine. It doesn't say that he's, it just says Imagine, yeah. Gave a rather passionate, a defense of free speech. So the show didn't wasn't just a laugh riot. I mean, they actually did hit on actual issues. I mean, from time to time, and up and down the dial. It was a good show, and it was interesting how that Jennifer was probably one of the smartest ones there, along with Bailey. Bailey was
another
brilliant
woman
as well.
Yep,
another one was brilliant as well, and that's probably something that ticked off a few conservatives. Is this smart, assertive women on the show and. They may not have liked it. I mean,
It had meaning. Yeah, I appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for bringing up that point, because it's a really important one. Yeah, it wasn't just a great comedy. They tackled some tough topics of the day that we're still tackling and did it back then, back in the late 70s and early 80s. Appreciate that, Gary. By the way, my sister says they have the whole series on DVD. How about that? All right. I know what we're doing this winter. We're sitting down watching the whole series. What's worse, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions? Now, normally, Zommers, we end this at the bottom of the hour, but we've gotten so many texts I wanted to carry this through. Lots of people weighing in on this one, and I want to get to some of these texts. Listening on WMDX, a brand new listener, a librarian. We appreciate our librarians out there. Says, no one is going to tell me what color to paint my house. The librarian in me says no restrictions. Homeowners associations violate our rights. Signed, a librarian. I love the discussion. What's worse, neighborhood covenants, or in some parts of the state known as homeowners associations, or no restrictions? Matt, one of our great UPS drivers in the RC, listening on WRCE, says no restrictions is worse. I'll put up with a boomer yelling at me about garbage cans if it means I don't have to look at decomposing jack-o'-lanterns. Now, that's a pretty specific one.
Like, I think there might be some resentment there.
I think there might be. But there's some truth there, right? There are people that leave their decomposing jack-o'-lanterns up until they put up their Christmas decorations or Valentine's Day. Megan, listening in Some Prairie on WMDX, says no restrictions would be worse. People can be very oblivious to how rude they're being to their neighbors, especially in regard to their volume at night. Well, that's another thing, right? Sometimes certain neighborhoods say, like, you can't have outdoor parties after midnight or something like that.
What that? I mean, no matter your neighborhood, you can just call the police if they won't answer when you try and knock on the door and be like, hey, shut up.
Could be a city ordinance on that kind of thing as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, neighborhood covenants or homeowners associations or no restrictions? Listener on WAUK in Waukesha, no restrictions is worse in 2025. As we've seen from the very top down, you cannot trust people to be reasonable and to compromise. In fact, if you have some restrictions in place, it doesn't mean people will follow them. I am rethinking this. Maybe the reverse is true for the same reason.
Yeah, it's very hard. Like, it's just like the whole Texas thing.
Right.
You know, when do you say abandon the rules because there's too much at stake? Luckily, in this case, the consequences are a lot less dire. Decomposing pumpkin is not nearly as bad as democracy.
Carol on WMDX in Madison says, HOAs are worse. I had a purple house for years. My ex-sister-in-law hated it, but everyone else loved it. Pretty sure an HOA would not have approved.
Probably not.
Probably not. I think we have pretty much all the texts on there.
Did we get the Jack and Merrimack text?
Oh, no. Let's see. Have you got that
one? He said, covenants are definitely worse because unlike city ordinances, they can be used to harass certain people. In a nearby neighborhood, an acquaintance of mine just resided his garage, leaving the windows. They were painted. A few months later, he got a letter threatening a fine unless he quote-unquote fixed all his windows because one had started peeling. I won't say anything about him except that he's not a straight white guy.
Well, there you go. And yeah, I think that's an unfortunate but good example of where it could be misused, right? Julie in Wausau, listening to WXCO up in beautiful Wausau, says, I would not buy a house in a neighborhood that doesn't allow clotheslines. Climate change is real. That's another example of, you know, perhaps, you know, that neighborhood would not allow a clothesline. I think those are more, maybe they're not extreme examples. But so Zomers, I think we know where you're at, but go ahead. What's worse, neighborhood covenants or no restrictions?
I think that neighborhood covenants, while they have a purpose, I do think they're probably worse. And my biggest argument for that is a few months ago, Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World, told us a story about a crackhead named Bobby who lived in his front lawn. And you would never get stories like that. And that's a crazy story.
Good point.
And I loved it.
Very good point. Look, somebody was on a small town city council and who also owned a farm in a rural area. I think like where my farm is at in the town of Bloom in Richland County, unzoned area. Which means you want to buy 50, 100 acres out in the country, you can do with it as you want because nobody's looking at your building, really.
Right.
I mean, what you do on your property is, and I'm fine with that. I just think in town, in a city where you might only have, you know, 15, 20 feet between houses, I think that it's better to have some sort of uniform restrictions. The main one for me is, and I saw this in our town, I've seen it in other towns across Wisconsin, that someone comes in and what, today the average price of a home is what, $350,000, $375,000?
Something crazy like that.
So you make an investment and everything's fine, and then some yahoo moves in next to you and works on a car, and then it's two cars, and then it's a lawn tractor, and then it's three lawnmowers, and then it's a snowblower, and pretty soon you got a junkyard, and you got leaves, and you got or weeds, and you got rodents, and then you go to sell that 5 or 10 years from then. Nobody wants to buy your investment because of the junkyard next to you, and I think that is not good. And so I would say for that reason, no restrictions is worse. All right, good discussion. We'll come back, talk about Merlot and the Brewers.
Merlot?
Merlot.
Malort.
After this, stay tuned.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We're exploring redistricting this week, including its cheating side. By manipulating which voters are in a voting district, the party in power can rig the system to guarantee a win for that party. Ronald Reagan called it the anti-democratic and un-American practice of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering was named for Elbridge Gerry, Massachusetts governor and signer of the Declaration of Independence, who approved an 1812 partisan map resembling a salamander. Partisan legislatures still pack members of their own party into snake-like districts to create safe seats and protect incumbents, or crack a district which leans to the opposing party and dilute its power by adding friendly voters. Gerrymandering flies in the face of the American ideal of competition. Safe seat incumbents don't have to work as hard to get elected because once they win the primary, they're a shoo-in to win the general. It suppresses competition between parties and new candidates whose ideas might benefit constituents. Primaries become a race to the bottom as candidates cater to hardcore, more extreme party primary voters and ignore centrist voters and independents. The lack of competition also suppresses turnout, as voters say, "Why should I bother? It's already decided." There's an even more insidious form of gerrymandering, racial gerrymandering. We have more on that tomorrow. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, comes up at the top of the hour, followed by a check of weather and sports, followed by the Maggie Dawn Show. In for Maggie today on vacation, the wonderful, the talented Matt Rothschild. Don't go anywhere. Matt will have a great program for you coming up immediately following us, and then Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 until 8. Couple of breaking news stories at this hour. First of all, following up on our top story on this program today, just across the wires, CBS, Democrats prevent Texas House from moving forward with Trump-backed congressional map. Just occurred about 20 minutes ago. So keep it here. We'll keep you abreast of this. But developing now, Democrats, at least for now, have prevented the Texas House from moving forward on the Trump-backed congressional map. Also, for our listeners on WMDX here in Madison, breaking courtesy of Channel 3000, the CBS affiliate here in Madison, the University of Wisconsin Police Department is on the scene of an active police incident on the east side of the UW Arboretum. Again, here in Madison, avoid the area on the east side of the UW Arboretum. Campus police calling it an active scene at this hour. Continue to follow Civic Media News, and we will update you on that. All right. Here now, if you missed the show like Zomers did on Friday, we had Parker Olson in for or Zomers, and we came up because the what's worse on Friday was what's worse, Malort or blackberry brandy.
I wish I was here for this because I had both.
I didn't know what the hell Malort was. I had to look it up, and then it was a big thing, and then we. Parker texted the wrong Dom, and we thought the Dom didn't know who I was. We were very confused. Anyway, it was quite a show. And so here now, joining me at the desk, for those watching on the stream, our own Carol, head of traffic. Helicopter is not a different kind of traffic, right, Carol?
Absolutely.
You're the one that keeps all the commercials on the air, that keeps us on the air, and we appreciate you very much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So for these purposes, are you from Chicago?
Originally born in Chicago, but raised in Madison. So right. I have what I call a dual citizenship on both sides of the cheddar curtain, which That's is a great. Friend of mine.
So how did you come to acquire Malort?
I bought it. I was curious. It's made from the same stuff as absinthe. And yes. I have a writer's group that drinks absinthe because it's fun. And Malort is similar, but not black licorice, which I hate. And then I went to a show in Chicago where it's an improv comedy show, and one of the guys in the show will do a few shots before doing this thing. And in New York, they did the drink of their choice, but in Chicago, they did Malort. And I thought that I had to try it. What is it?
So she's been kind enough to bring in, I'm not sure kind is the right word, but she's brought in Malort liquor. I have it in front of me, and I've heard it taste like ashtray butts or something like that.
My favorite one I saw was it tastes like heartache and pencil shavings.
That's a really good one. I also really like, I saw someone describe it as it tastes like a racetrack.
Yeah.
All right. I will regret this perhaps, but you know, the only way you got to live, I'll try anything once unless it kills me.
Do you want me to join you?
Sure. Come on over, Zomers.
Oh, come on.
Come on over. So here now I'm pouring just, Do you do this as a shot? Or?
Yeah, you do a shot. I mean, I don't have shot glasses at home.
Yeah, I'm not doing an entire shot here. But all right, Zobbers, here's Malort, a Wisconsin boy. Have you had this before?
I have, maybe like five times.
Zobbers
or so.
Had it. All right, here we go. Down the hatch. Cheers to Malort. Screw the Cubs. Ooh. Now it went down. Fairly smooth, but the back end is ridiculously terrible. Judas Priest, that's terrible.
It doesn't go away.
Ugh.
It just gets worse.
I mean, it goes down very smooth when you're swallowing, but holy smokes.
Let me help you out here.
Oh, look at Carol. Now, this is a real comrade, a friend, a colleague right here.
This is the antidote.
Ugh.
This is dark chocolate. It will taste sweet now.
Really?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here's the dark chocolate.
Here's your antidote. Mm.
Wow. You're a professional in all sorts of ways. Thank you.
I can't kill our afternoon host. That would be bad.
Well, not everyone would agree, but some. That did the trick.
It doesn't it, though? It works.
That I haven't done before, but yeah, that is helping a lot.
Thank you, because I would not want to have tasted that all afternoon. Why do people actually drink this?
My theory is that people from Chicago have a thing about how tough we are. And we also really like making our friends suffer now and then. So it's everybody's got a bottle of Malort somewhere.
Yeah, the guy who originally made it.
The place I like to put Malort.
It's Jepson's Malort. Yep. Jepson, the guy who made it, he had smoked and drank so much over the years. He was some old guy whose taste buds were crap. And he's like, I got to make something I can finally taste. And so that's why he made this. And he did succeed at that.
That would do it.
My sister Heather, I'll watch you on Facebook. Our sometimes on-site producer says, are you actually going to drink that? And then she puts a bunch of laughing faces. That shiver was ridiculous to watch. That was real. That was, I mean, it was just gross. I mean, once is enough for me.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
Kind of like my time with women. Once is enough. That's all it took. Equally as bad for me, at least. But I can't thank you enough, Carol, for listening and helping us out with this.
Because
I wouldn't want to buy a bottle of this.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of this bottle, but there it is.
I was just trying to help you out, that's all.
But you didn't buy it just for this bit, did you?
No, I bought it for my writers group.
Oh, that's right, the writers group.
Yes, that's where we discovered
Carol
it.
We'll have you on for a serious bit. We'll talk about some of your writing.
That'd be cool. Well, thank you for having me now. And I'm glad I didn't kill you.
She didn't. Carol, everybody, our wonderful traffic. Are you director of traffic?
I am corporate traffic director.
Director of traffic, Carol, of everybody. We appreciate her. Many thanks as well to State Senator Bob Jalk, former State Senator Bob Jalk, and Janelle Miller from Wisconsin Watch and Zomers, all you for listening. Stay tuned. Matt Rothman is in for Maggie next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. And don't drink Malort. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas House lawmakers tried to reconvene today as Republicans try to vote on a redrawn congressional map. But state Democrats have fled the state, protesting what they call gerrymandering that would give the GOP 5 new seats ahead of midterms.
But more than 50 Texas House Democrats are in Chicago, not Austin.
We're not here to play political games.
State Representative Gene Wu of Houston.
We're here to demand an end to this corrupt process.
President Trump has said he wants to see 5 more Republicans in Congress. GOP state lawmakers here have drawn a new map that virtually guarantees it. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Republicans voted to issue warrants for state Democrats to return, but won't have jurisdiction in other states. Israel's prime minister claiming Hamas does not seem